24 really quickly, because that's a huge, huge part of being Christ-like. You have something sitting right on the front of your forehead called the prefrontal cortex. It's like the Grand Central Station of your brain. And you find attention, memory, emotion, attachment all come together and are integrated in your prefrontal cortex. It's important that you realize 60 to 90% of all communication is nonverbal. Now stop and think for a second about your texting on the phone. So it requires eye contact, facial expressions, tone of voice, body language, gestures, and timing and intensity of physical responses for you to truly hear somebody. It requires that. The prefrontal cortex checks 7 times every second to see if the person you are dialoguing with is online, to see if they're connecting to you. If they're not, and you are attempting to share something very intimate or scary or whatever difficult for you, your brain will shut you off. It'll shut you down because you don't feel safe with that person. They're not attuning to you. Attunement is a big, 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 big deal for us humans. And if you look at Yeshua's life, he always, always, always attuned to people. Even on the cross, he attuned to those that were killing him. And he said, as a result of that, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He attuned. He didn't get angry. He didn't blow up. He didn't accuse. He attuned. Attunement, this is such a big deal. I had a card made there on the table, I believe, back there. So that I believe it's important for all believers, if they're going to follow the pattern of Yeshua, to learn what attunement is. How do you attune? And so if you are the person, like right now, all of you are attuning to me, most of you. You're attuning to me. And I'm attuning back, but I'm having to do it bouncing around, right? So attunement offered, you are saying to me, and 7 times a second, my brain's checking to see if this room is still engaged with me. And I'll see certain people that aren't. I mean, boom, it happens that fast. I'll see some people that really are, and those are the people that if I start getting a little stormy weather up here, I'll look at them. Because right then, John just did it for me. He gave me just a little half smile, and my brain recognized that. He's glad to be here. He sees me, he hears me, and he confirmed that he's attuned to me. So, and my brain goes, oh, okay. It's okay, there's one person here. No. So, attunement offered, he offered it to me, basically his brain, his body language, my brain took it all in. He was leaned forward like this, and he wasn't even aware of it. When I said that, he did that, and he smiled. So, half smile, but it counted. He said, I see you, I hear you, I correctly understand your internal experience or what you're saying in that case. I join you in your emotions. I genuinely care about you, and I'm glad to be with you. That last one is the most vital of all of them. If that isn't present, you could offer all 5 of the ones above, and that person's brain would shut off anyway. That truth that I am glad to be with you in your upset, in your rant, your raving, your nasty, whatever, I am glad to be with you. Yeshua did it with the woman caught in adultery. He was so glad to be with her. He attuned to her. He got down on her level. He didn't accuse her. He embraced her. He said, I don't condemn you either. go and sin no more. He met her where she was at. So it's important that we learn how to use our body language to communicate these six things to people. And I'll add a seventh one to that. If you look in their left eye while you're attuning, it takes it to another whole level. Remember, left eye is connected to the right hemisphere of your brain, and that's where this banana-shaped organ sits called the nucleus accumbens, and it allows you to be relational rather than to be a robot or a computer, because your brain's a computer, but it's more than a computer. So if somebody receives your attunement, like I received John's, they feel seen, you feel seen, you feel heard, you feel understood regarding your experience that, or what you just said. You feel empathy. You feel that that person cares. You feel that that person is glad to be with you. When that happens, when somebody attunes to you and you're able to receive it, then the right hemisphere, that nucleus accumbens, comes online, and you're able, depending on where you're at in your journey, to trust and begin to trust and to let that person in. If that isn't received, I could attune all day long and you choose not to receive it. Especially if you have a victim spirit or self-hatred or any of those guilt, condemnation, all those negative things will prevent you from receiving people's attunement, and you go around telling yourself that nobody likes you and that nobody wants to be with you. Belonging is huge to the human race. It's a core need that we have. So if you're having trouble receiving people's attunement, you can begin to do the mental, agree with your adversary quickly. Is this true? Father, is it true that they don't want to be with me? And you go to the source of the truth that will never lie to you. And you believe it and you hang on to it. And you go back and tell Satan, thank you so much for pointing that out. I didn't. But he said, my father said, and that's the end of the story, right? All right, let's turn to the relational circuits. That's your nucleus accumbens. I remember the first time I heard a brain scientist teaching on this. I was actually in Heston, Kansas, and went to a conference there. And on Sunday morning, I was speaking, and I couldn't remember the nucleus accumbens word. It was so appropriate in my message. So I said, you know, that Christopher Columbus thing, you know, I'll never forget that. So, and sometimes I slip and call it that. So your relational circuits speak of your ability to connect with others and with Yahweh. When we have downshifted from our thinking brain into our emotional or action brain, that's called being triggered. Anybody need me to explain to you what a trigger is? It looks like, yeah. If you've downshifted, okay, so we are created by Yahweh to live in our thinking brain. And that's where our left and right hemisphere communicate freely back and forth, and you have access to both parts of your brain. But when you get triggered, your brain downshifts. And if you're a man, generally you trigger into your left brain. And generally, women trigger into our right brain. Our right brains are where emotions are. That's why women tend to get real emotional. And that's why men tend to get real factual. And they tell you how they're going to fix it and what to do about it. And you're over here in your emotional brain, and you couldn't care less about the facts. You just want somebody to attune to you and join you in your emotions. So that's why that happens. And so generally, depending on how big the trigger is, when you downshift into that one hemisphere or the other. I call it the Great Wall of China comes between the right and left hemisphere. And if I'm deep enough in my right brain, my emotional brain, I can't even hear somebody giving me the answer or the facts or the whatever. And guess what? You store your scripture, memorize scripture, your Bible truth in your left brain. So if you're in your right brain, Great Wall of China hits, you can't access the truth. You don't even want anybody to tell you at that point. You just want comfort. Somebody attuned to me. That's what comfort really is. Somebody attuning to you. Somebody that will join you in your emotions. They don't have to agree. They're not trying to correct you. They're not giving you the Bible scripture or the information. They're just saying, I understand. Sometimes you don't say a thing. You're just with them. And then attunement is what enables you to get out of your thinking brain or your emotional brain. And sometimes you can't receive that from people because of past woundings or da-da-da-da-da. So the good news is Yahweh always attunes to you. Always attunes to you. You can always go to him. He's always safe. He's always there for you. Middle of the night, it doesn't matter. You can call him any time, day or night. And he's going to attune to you. And once he's attuned to you and brings you back into right, left brain connecting, that's when he'll begin to tell you the truth that you need to hear. And people don't care really how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's what attunement is. So an attunement gets you back online with your relational circuits. Attunement is the best way to upshift back to your thinking brain, which is where Yahweh intended us to spend most of the time. Even Yeshua attuned to his enemies. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas comes up, and he's about, and he gives Yeshua a kiss, Yeshua says to him, "Friend, do you betray me with a kiss?" He calls him friend. Judas, remember who you are. You're my friend. Amazing attunement. He's the pattern. He's the pattern for us to follow. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's the pattern. And you and I are called to be priests. And like I said, priests had several functions. One was to represent God to the people, to teach the people how to worship Yahweh. You're a priest. We're all teachers. We're meant to teach each other how to worship, what true worship is, not what man says it is. I did a study a few years ago, a teaching that was, my goodness, I think it took almost a year to get through it, on worship, what it is and what it isn't, according to the Bible. And do you know what? I could not find one word in the entire Bible that was translated worship that meant to sing. And what do we call worship today, first and foremost? Singing. It's not in the Bible. Now, can you worship by singing? Absolutely. But just because you sing doesn't mean you're worshiping. The number one, number two words translated worship in the Bible is bow down. Mostly bow. And number two is to work. Isn't that a surprise? If we are working because Yahweh told us to, that's worship. It's surrender. It's, right? So, how did it get on that one? I don't know. I don't even know. I keep losing my place. We're priests. Oh, you are so attuned and so great for me, Deborah. Thank you. So we are priests, and one of those two right there are part of what we're supposed to be doing, as well as we have to attune to the people, because we as priests need to be able to lead them to the Father. And if we aren't attuning to people and attuning to the Lord at the same time, like when I look across this room, I'm attuning to you, but I am doing this big time and spend time praying for this to happen so that I can hear. I just heard. Okay. Just because I hear it doesn't mean I'm supposed to say. I'll wait on that one just a second. So seven times a second, your prefrontal cortex is checking to see if somebody's attuned to you. Now, Yahweh did that. Yahweh created that. What does that tell you about attunement? It's critical. It's critical. And that's what will help keep us relational. So, I want to highlight this truth, that Yahweh stays relational with us even when we aren't relational with Him. And I'll give you some examples. Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned, and Yahweh has His Trinity board meeting and says, "Let us drive man out of the garden, lest he eat from the tree of life." He was attuning to Adam and Eve's needs. He didn't just throw them out and say, "Be done with you, I'll start all over with another." No. He went with them. He attuned to them. He stayed with them. He stayed relational. Even when Cain gets jealous and wants to kill his brother, Yahweh comes to him and warns him, says, "Don't do it. Cain, don't do it. Sin's crouching at the door. Don't do it. You must master it, or it's going to take you out." I paraphrase. So he stayed relational. Now, I was taught that Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and Yahweh, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." So I was taught, based on that passage, that when I sin, God separates Himself from me. And when I went back and read this, it doesn't say Yahweh separated Himself from me. It says I separated myself from Him. He never moves. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that were true, nobody could ever get saved. How are we going to ever get to the Father if my sin keeps me from Him? And the only way that will happen is if my sin blocks me from going. But if I'll go, He's right there. He doesn't move away from me. He doesn't say, "Get out of here, you sinner." He says, "Come here. Come closer. You need me." So this idea that sin separates you from God is false if, unless you move. But we reinterpret it as sin separates God from us. That's the lie. See how tricky Satan takes things and twists them? And Romans 8:35 tells us the truth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Verse 36, "For just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Christ Yeshua our Lord. That is the truth. Now, if you move away, he's not going to force you to stay. And, you know, there's a teaching that once saved, always saved. I don't believe that personally for a number of reasons. I'm not going to go into it, but Yeshua is faithful even when we're not. He's faithful. And as long as we come to him and we abide in the vine, you don't have anything to worry about. But if you remove yourself from the vine, guess what? He lets you go. Because he does not force anybody to worship him who doesn't want to. He doesn't do it now. He won't do it during the millennial kingdom. He won't do it for eternity. He didn't do it to the angels. And if you decide that you'd rather worship Satan than Yahweh, he lets you have what you choose. That's my opinion. Like I said, Yahweh said my opinion doesn't count for much. So, but something to think about. All right. There are 8 human emotions that can cause your relational circuits to shut off or shut down. Fear, guilt, shame, disgust, hopeless despair, sadness, anger, intimidation, guilt. If you're feeling those things, it's very difficult to be relational. Somebody's got to really love you well to help you get out of that around the mountain. And love you well meaning attuned to you. It doesn't mean if they try to fix you, it doesn't work. That's the opposite of attunement, by the way. Let's look at that. This page 26. When your circuits are online, I want you to do your self-test here to see how much you're living with your relational circuits on. When your circuits are on, you feel connected. And you can have a real strong relational circuit with your spouse, but with this person over here, nah, because they've proven to not be trustworthy. Right? It's based on their attunement. Not that they're bad. Don't you point your finger. Isaiah 58:6 says, stop pointing your finger at other people. If you'll stop pointing your finger, he says, he will take your depression and he'll make it like the noonday sun. So we got to stop judging other people. Here I am pointing my finger. You got to stop pointing our finger at other people. All right, so when your circuits are on, you feel connected. You desire that connection. You see other people as relational beings. You're aware of the true heart of others. You feel compassion. You feel joy. Joy meaning, not happiness, but joy being, I'm glad to be with them. That's what biblical joy is about. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be with you, etc. And you feel peace and contentment. When your circuits are off, you feel disconnected, you feel isolated, you see other people as a threat or as an object or as something to be used, you aren't able to see past their faults, you try to fix people, you don't want to be with them, and you're never satisfied, you feel discontentment, and you don't feel good enough. Those are indicators that your relational circuits are offline, shut down, and you won't let people in if that's the case. So the best thing you can do if you're in a relationship or a friendship or working with someone, doing life with someone, and their circuits are offline, the only solution that I'm aware of is attunement. Twofold. Get them to the Father. Get them to Yeshua, because he's always attuned. He knows exactly how to get to them. And you, as their friend, partner, you attune to them. And that doesn't necessarily mean you agree with them. You join them in their emotions, but you may not, that doesn't mean you take it on. All right? You don't try to fix them. That's the worst thing you can do. Here are 8 things that have, according to brain science, this is brain science, that help you, if you're stuck with your circuits offline, helps you return to joy, return to your relational circuits being online. Number one is attunement across the board. Somebody's glad to be with you. Now, I've known people, and I know you have too, that you just think, I just don't like being with them. They're hard. I'm exhausted when I leave, right? Well, somebody's got to love them in spite of. And if you're that person, Yahweh will give you the grace to do it. If you're not, you won't have the grace. All right, number two, relaxing. That's why we start our God encounter sessions, leading the people, the person, into relaxing their physical bodies from head to toe. Because that helps your relational circuits get online. This is a funny one, but it works. Yawning. Yawning 10 times in a row, whether it's fake or real, gets your relational circuits online. Laughing, it can be fake laughter. It does the same thing. One time I had a lady, and man, we were trying everything to get her circuits back on. Nothing was working. I tried the yawn, and about yawn number 7, and I yawned with her because it's contagious, you know. And about yawn number 7, she giggles. And then the next one, she starts laughing. And then she's laughing so hard, she's crying. So she did 2 of them together, and her circuits were full blown on, and we were able to go right into the encounter. So, ma'am, can I tell on you? All right. So Precious Mim helped me at a conference one time, and I asked her, because the room after lunch is very difficult. People are tired and sleepy. And I asked her, because the room was disconnected, I said, I got to get the relational circuits back on. So Mim, would you come up and yawn for us? And so she was gracious. She gets up and starts yawning. And I don't remember, she didn't get into many, 3 or 4, and her partial teeth fell. Everybody busted out laughing. It was a laugh fest. It was beautiful. And everybody was alert, and we were able to go back into the teaching and took off. So it's beautiful. I'll never forget it. Yeah. Swinging or rocking for 30 minutes will get your circuits back online. Can get your circuits. But you gotta want this to happen, by the way. Singing out loud can also do that. Sharing a story, telling a story of a time when you know that you know that you know that Yeshua or Yahweh met you. It can be your conversion experience. Any time when you felt joy or love by Yahweh especially, or by somebody else. Eating a meal with somebody. Eating is a powerful relational connection. Point, especially if you do it in groups of 3. That's the perfect number. 2 is not as good. 3 people eating a meal together, preparing a meal together, eating it and cleaning up is the perfect setting to get relational circuits online. And actually, they've done brain studies that when people eat their meal alone, the nucleus accumbens actually shrinks. Yeah. We're created by Yahweh to be in community, to be in relationship with him and with others. So if there's just 2 of you at home, set a plate for Yeshua and invite him to come eat with you. You got 3 perfect three-strand cord. Yeah. So, you know, the Jews always set a plate for Elijah. All right. I've got on page 27 some basics on facilitating. So, facilitators' job is primarily to get and keep the person connected to the Holy Spirit, to the Father, to the Son. And we're not, like I said yesterday, we don't ever use guided imagery or tell them what to see or what to hear or what da-da-da. We simply use the tools in our tool belt to help troubleshoot when somebody's stuck, when somebody can't get there. And we have to find out the source, the reason why they're unable to perceive Yahweh's presence or Yeshua's presence. And that's what a facilitator does, plain and simple. Ask questions. You know, I facilitated somebody on staff here for a number of years, and I don't remember, you know, my thing was, you want to ask Yeshua? Would you like to ask Yeshua that? Would you like to ask? You know, and finally one day, I'm getting ready to say that, and this, she looks up at me and she says, "No, I don't want to ask Yeshua." And then my next question was, "Well, why not?" Just ask questions, and the Lord will shine His light. So I'm going to give you the privilege of reading that page. So now I think I'm going to stop with the book. You've got, by the way, what I call spring cleaning prayers on page 32, starts on page 32. Those are really good to clean house, to pray through those and clean your house. So now let me just kind of walk through a GE, and everyone's different. Every GE is different. There really isn't a whatever. You just let the Holy Spirit lead. But a general format would be you come in, and, well, I'll just describe this afternoon because there'll be a group. It's a little different in a group when it's one-on-one and you can just focus on one person. But so when you come in your group, you'll have your facilitator there, and she and he, men with the men and women with women, will lead, will facilitate. And you'll start with, I've asked them to find out if anybody here had trouble connecting, because in a few minutes we're going to do a group encounter and just to kind of see if there's blockages. And if there are, when you get in your encounter this afternoon, you can share, if you want to, that you had trouble connecting. You had trouble perceiving the Lord. And they're going to help you. They're going to troubleshoot. And all of you in the group, we've got it in small groups, you will get to learn. The whole point is for you to learn and for you to get to practice and to make sure that you can connect if you want to. You don't have to do this. You can go and simply be an observer and not participate. You have a free will, and we honor free will in this place. So once that's determined and they do the troubleshooting and help that person get connected, then there will be an opportunity, and it'll be up to the facilitator and up to the time on the clock whether there'll be an individual that wants to volunteer to have a personal encounter and everybody gets to observe and learn, or whether they do a group encounter again. It's up to them as the Holy Spirit leads. So if you don't want to volunteer and they ask, don't volunteer. You don't have to. There's no condemnation. There's no, oh, she didn't, you know, just don't. It's okay. And then the facilitator will lead in the group relaxing. Everybody's going to relax because you want to be relational while this is going on. And you'll relax. And then the facilitator will ask permission to call your spirit to attention. Remember, you can bless somebody's spirit, but to call somebody's spirit to attention requires permission, because that's directive. So they'll call your spirit to attention with your permission, and then she or he will lead you in binding and loosing and cleanse, asking Yahweh to cleanse your imagination. I do that every day because my imagination can get defiled with my negative soul thoughts, you know. So, and then we'll ask for the doorways to be cleansed with the blood of the Lamb, and then we'll, then they will ask you to, if you haven't already, establish a safe place in your imagination. They'll ask you to establish a safe place. And as you see yourself in that safe place, at that point, you invite, do you want to meet with Yeshua? Do you want to meet with the Father? Do you want to meet with the Holy Spirit? Are you kind of scared of Yeshua, but you want to meet with him? You could ask the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah, to come, or the Lamb, whatever. You know, Yahweh's, he's good with all of this. He know, he's going to meet you where you're at. And then you just relax. I'm telling you, relax. If you find yourself getting tense or scared, or just take a deep breath, relax. Allow Yahweh to take over your imagination. You're not trying to create nothing. Don't get in there and try to create a video or a dialogue. You just relax and perceive. Do you perceive his presence, his peace? You feel peace? You feel the peace that fell in the room about 30 seconds ago? That's his presence. And as you enter into his presence, go with the flow. You can start pouring your heart out, or you could say to him, Yeshua, what's on your heart? Do you have anything you want to say to me or show me? It, you know, there's no right or wrong. This is a relationship, and it's a back and forth. He told me one time, he said, Rhonda, I'm the word. That means I like to talk, because I was talking too much. So let him talk. Ask him questions. Let him answer. And relax, relax. He wants to meet with you more than you want him to meet with you. So, and then the facilitator will guide and help, guide in that they'll ask questions that are appropriate at appropriate times. So if you're in the group and somebody's having a session and you feel like you get a word of knowledge or you see a vision or you whatever, write it down. Don't bring it. We want this to be Yahweh and the person. But you can write it down. And when it's all over, if there's opportunity and the Lord says, then you can share what you saw, if it's appropriate. Yahweh bless you. And so depending on the time, there may be two. It just depends on the time mostly. And then you can debrief. You can ask your questions. And then we'll gather back in here at 4 o'clock together, and you can share your testimony if you want or not. You can ask questions of your facilitators or me or whoever. We'll just see where it goes from there. Okay? Any questions? And again, if you're comfortable having your spirit called to attention or blessed, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to. Don't feel any pressure. Yes. You gotta aim it at that little black box hanging down. Right up here.
All right. Okay, so my question is, all this negative stuff that you're says you bind it to God. Now, why would you give something bad like that, bind it to him? That's what's confusing, okay?
Because he's the only one that has the answer or the antidote to my problems. I give him my sins. I give him my negative everything. I need him to take it, cover it with his blood, and transform me.
Thank you.
Remember, bind means to tie two things together. I don't want to keep it. I want him to have it. He died to own it.
Can I ask a follow-up question to that? So when I read that about binding different things that we don't want, we talk about loosening them, so we loose them. And then, but the Bible also says that we are to take on Jesus' yoke because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So my learning has always been with regard to that. When I have those negative things, those negative feelings, is that I take the thought captive and I take on Jesus' yoke and I turn it over to him. So this is a little, because what's being said here is that we're now taking those thoughts and those things that are going on for us, and we're binding. Is it just a semantic thing, or is it really the same?
It sounds like it's how you're viewing it, for sure. The big kicker for me was the word loose, where it means to destroy. And I was loosing angels. I was taught to bind demons and loose angels. And I found out that bind means to tie together. And there is a sense that you can bind a demon. Yeshua never did it. He didn't bind one demon. He simply said, get out or shut up. He's the pattern. He's the one I follow, not my understanding. So that's why I changed, understanding that, yeah, I in a sense, bind my negative thoughts and words. Even when I hear them and I turn to the Lord and I ask him, are they true? He says, yes. Okay, that's pride. Lord, forgive me. That's binding my sins to him. I give them to him and I leave them there. And then to loose, destroy, I want him to destroy everything in me that's not Christ-like. And so I ask him to do that. And then I take those things that he's shown me and I bind them to him. I say, they belong to you. You died for that. You paid the price for it. It's yours. I'm free. And I walk away and leave it with him. It's just a mental, and it's just based on what those words mean in my understanding of them.
Ren, I wanted to see if you could just, before we go into these encounters, because I think this is what's kind of welling up your clarity. The attuning that you talked about is excellent. I mean, a lot of good nuggets in there and so forth. I'm just thinking about that. Before I ask the question, I asked the Lord, is there something in the Word? And John 7 came to me, and that's the conversation that Jesus had with his brothers before they went to the festival. And he said, no, I'm not going to go with you. But actually what he did was, is I think he knows what's in their heart, and the reason that they wanted him to go was not correct. He said, I'm not going to go, but then he shows up later on his own. So I was thinking about that in regards to attuning. Could you speak into, because you do so much with people with relationships coming here and stuff that are broken and damaged, how does the attuning fit in with God's place with us with some people? Does some people he's not having us attune with because of safety reasons, or is... I don't even, do you understand where I'm kind of going? I don't know the kind of language to explain it. I don't want to say that we're not supposed to be relational, but is there protection sometimes on not doing some relations?
Yeah, absolutely. And that falls back on the pattern. He only did what he saw his father do. If Yeshua tells me to attend to Deborah, I'm going to, even if she's not safe, she is, but I'm just saying, I'm going to attune to her because he told me to. sometimes he says, nope, that one's not for you. Keep walking. And think about Yeshua. You know, when he chose his apostles, his disciples, he called them, come follow me. And he kept walking. So sometimes we get stuck on, we got to treat people like this, 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 and the same. No, he called, come and I'll make you fishers of men. And he kept walking. And they had a choice. He took the pressure off of them. He attuned to them. Take that pressure off. He keeps walking. You can come or not. And he did it again and again and again. Matthew, the tax collector, come and follow me. So that choice, he gives us the choice. The bottom line is, yes, we're to be attuning. And yes, you can attune to somebody that is difficult or you don't feel safe with. But you better know if the Father's telling you to do it or not. Hey, Greg, would you get, he whispered my name, ready? Anybody else have a question? Because we're going to do an encounter here. Or a thought. Very good. I love, yeah, Josh. Josh is our wonderful son-in-law.
Then something Yahweh taught me a few years ago was, you know, I was just talking to him about attunements and like how to attune and how to like receive being attuned to and stuff like that. And I was just, you know, dialoguing with him about it a lot. It was my main, it was the main focus for a good while because, you know, I needed to learn a lot about it. And he kept highlighting the verse, you know, that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And I kept asking him, okay, Lord, why are you highlighting that verse? I'm talking about attunements and, you know, getting my needs met and all that stuff. What are you trying to show me? And after, it took me a long time, but I was able to see that in regards to attunement, Yahweh, you know, God moves on people's hearts to attune to me when I need it from people. And when he doesn't do that, it means I need my attunement to be from him. So that helped me become, you know, less needy, you know, less focused on what other people could give. And so now, I mean, it's been a few years, so I've learned now to, like when I'm interacting with somebody and I have an expectation that that person will attune to me, but they don't. And I walk away from that interaction, I think to myself, well, I expected that person to attune to me, but they didn't. That's okay. Yahweh will send somebody else at the right time or get my attunement from him. So it helps me not be, you know, needy, clingy, you know, from people trying to convince them to do what I think they should do. Helps me avoid manipulation and just makes it a whole lot easier in life and everything because I know that all the attunement I need, whether it comes from people or from Yahweh, comes from Yahweh because he moves on people's hearts to attune to me.
Amen. That's so true. Yeah. Ed, and then we're going to have, he whispered my name, encounter.
I was thinking about the example of the yoke. You had mentioned the yoke, and this really helps me in thinking about that, loosening and binding. You said it. Yeshua said his yoke is easy. Think about getting into a yoke. As the oxen tie themselves to something else, they attach themselves to something. And I was thinking about how that's exactly where I want to be tied to, is that yoke of him. Do I want to yoke myself to any demon or to any of the darkness? No way. So I want to loose that as far from me as possible and yoke it to Yeshua, just what you said, really, that Yeshua will be the one that can be yoked. He knows exactly what to do with it, and he is the greater power and authority over all things in the spirit and in the physical as well. So for that reason, I look forward to being able to loose off of me anything that's not of him, and I want to bind to me everything that's of him.
Well said. Very well. Very good. Okay, so we're going to have an encounter here using a prophetic word the Lord spoke years ago to the church. And what I want you to do is get comfortable. Some, if you want to get up and get on the floor, you can, but just get comfortable. Relax your body. We're not going to, due to the clock, I'm not going to do the whole whatever, right? If with your permission, I'll just call your spirit to attention. If you don't want this, just don't do it, right? So in the name of Yeshua, I call your spirit to come to attention. And I remind you, spirit, that you are one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Soul, I remind you that you were never created to lead. You are to get in the back seat of the car, so to speak, and follow the Holy Spirit and your spirit. And I bless you as you have supernatural eyes, supernatural hearing, that you would hear what the Lord is saying, and that your eyes would be enlightened and filled with Himself as you listen to these words. And I bless you now. And Father, we ask that you would cleanse our imaginations, that you just come in and give us a good blood washing on the inside and cleanse us, and that you, Lord, would also cleanse our doorways, every opening in our spirit, soul, and body. We ask that you do that with your blood, and we ask you, Yeshua, to be the door to every part of our being now, and you open and close what needs to be opened and what needs to be closed, for your glory and for your honor, and we thank you for doing it. Would you give us eyes to see now and ears to hear? So I want you to relax, 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 relax your body, relax your body. And as these words are said, the Lord is speaking this to you. And allow yourself to go to a safe place. If you don't have a place in mind, go ahead and think of one or ask the Lord to give you one. And I want you to see yourself there. And as these words are spoken, give yourself permission to let the Lord fill your imagination with images and His truth as it relates to this word over your life. All right? Okay, Greg.
Run together. Let's run. Let's run. Let's run. Not walk. Let's run. Let's run. Let's run. Let's run. Together. Over the obstacles and hindrances in your life, let's run. Let's run to them and let's overcome them. see my jealous love. And do not allow fear to be your idol any longer. No other loves. No other loves. Embrace nothing else. No other loves. One true God. One true love. Face the fear and run anyway. Run into it, run through it, and come out the other side.
We thank you for your tender, loving care over us. Thank you that you run with us. You are with us. You are overcoming those things in our lives that are hindering love. We thank you, Father. We bless you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. I don't know your names. I can't see your name tags. You're looking right at me. No, right behind you. Yes. What's your name? Celeste. And is this your daughter? Cadia? Is your mom here? Okay. So I have a word for her. May I have permission to give it to her? Okay, thank you. So Cadia, when that song, the word was going, I saw the Lord highlight you, and he wants you to know, I don't understand this, but I often don't. But anyway, he said to tell you that he has you in a protected place and a protected life on purpose, that he has set you apart from the womb to be a very, very special vessel in his heart. You're unique. You're very special. You're very well loved, and that's by his design and his purpose for you. And I know I feel like sometimes it's hard for you, and the Lord understands, but he also wants you to know there's a purpose in his protective love over you. And you're very, very well, I'm trying to find the word, I feel it, I don't hear it. You're a very special young lady. And the Lord wants you to know that. And I would encourage you to, you can have it as a gift, the Mary of Bethany teaching on the table, because I believe that's your story. Okay? Bless you. Well done, Mom. I just heard that just as I quit. He's tell Mom, well done. You're a great mom. You're doing a great job. And he sees and he's helping you and he has helped you. And well done. You're on your journey. You're going to make it. It's going to be good. It is good. You paid a high price. But he's so worth it. Amen. All right. I got permission to say it. Kyle, a little while ago, I looked at you and I heard the Lord say, tell him there's so, so, so much more for him. And I heard it again and he said, now tell him. There's so, 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 so much more for you. I don't know what that means. Lord will tell you. But you've been found faithful, and I just heard it. You've been found faithful in a little, so that he knows you will be faithful with much. And it's all about the kingdom. You're a kingdom man. And you got a king's heart. Wow. I feel very honored right now. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's honored as well by your devotion and your willingness to put him first. Amen. And the same goes for your beautiful wife, of course. Yeah, just heard that. Same's true. Take it. Both of you take it. Eat it. Digest it. All righty.